Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff. Brought to you by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. Yeah, I know. I sound terrible, but just getting over pneumonia, and all of a sudden I get this crud come on me, and so I got to work my way through it too. So bear with me, folks. We'll get through it.
Yeah, you had another little bout with that, so be praying for you, Chip.
Yep.
Well, we have a special guest today, just like every week we treat all of our guests are special. This young lady, I think she's been involved in MCB before, but she's kind of come on the scene the last few months as an important part of MCB. And her name is, what is your name? Tell everybody.
Hi, I'm April Gray.
April Gray. And do you spell that G-R-A-Y?
Yes, G-R-A-Y.
Okay. All right. Well, April, good to have you on with Meet the People of MCB. And first of all, are you sighted? Are you low vision? Or?
I'm low vision. I'm considered legally blind. I've kind of lost quite a bit the last couple years. So it's went slowly at first, but it's the last 2 years I've probably lost most of my vision.
And what... what is your vision loss? What it's attributed to?
I have retinitis pigmentosa.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what your mom has? By the way, everybody, this is Mary Pendleton's daughter, April Gray, if you knew Mary Pendleton. How's your mom doing?
She is doing pretty good. She's still got her one guide dog, but she doesn't get out as much with after she broke her back some years, about almost 10 years ago now. She just doesn't get around as good as she used to, but she does try to get out and go to the gym when the weather's not bad. So she tries to get out and go swim every day and go up to the senior center.
Well, good. Well, I'm sure she's listening to this. So hi, Mary. Hope you're doing good. We do think about you. So, Chip, I'm going to let you jump in early. You probably know April a little better than I do. So I'm going to let you kind of lead out on this.
All right. Thank you. I want to just real quickly say hello to Mary, too. And I know that she's got to be really proud of you, because at one time, Mary, too, was the Education Advocacy Committee Chair. And so I know she's really got to be real proud of you. Well, so why don't we start with your family? April, tell us a little bit about your family. I know you're married. And so why don't you share with us a little bit about your family?
I'm married, Justin. He helps me out a lot. He broke his back some years back too, so he has problems getting around a little bit sometimes, but so he helps. He's always here with me helping. He doesn't work outside the home, so he's always here. Between us, we have four kids, but they're all grown. He's got a boy and a girl, and I've got my two boys, and then he's got, let's see, four grandkids, and then I've got the new grandbaby. Just had this last summer. So
why don't you also share with us a little bit about your work history? Now, before coming to MCB, had you been employed?
Yes. As before I really lost all of my, had much significant vision loss, I spent 4 years on the fire department, working with the EMS. I didn't do a whole lot of the fire side. I would do mostly the medical, checking the guys before they went back in on a major fire, and then did dispatching and stuff. But I did a lot of the medical and confined space rescue and different things like that, and vehicle extrication. And I worked that 4 years. And then I've worked just about every type of side of insurance, selling it to working on the issue and the policies in a company. So I've done a little bit through the years. I've worked in handicap homes with individuals. So I've kind of have a wide variety between the medical and business side of a lot of things.
And did your husband, did he also work before he was injured?
Yes, he has done throughout the years. He's done, grew up where his dad had a construction company. His dad died right after he graduated. So he grew up, he was also homeschooled. We both were. So he was able to learn a lot of construction, and then he went and worked for the Magna Seating Company that puts like the seats in some of the Ford vehicles. So he did that and for some years before he ended up getting injured. And then he still tries to do a little bit of construction, you know, on the side when he has a good day to do minor stuff. But so yeah, he's got a great having around the home, being able to fix someone who knows really good how to fix stuff. So
good. And now, are you the only child with your mom? You have other brothers and sisters?
I have a brother and a sister. My sister is a nurse, and luckily she has not shown any signs of RP. She's one that's just is nonstop going, doing stuff, volunteer work and her work, and even teaching nursing and stuff now. Just recently got on with St. Luke's doing some teaching. And my brother, he has been diagnosed with having some of the RP now, and he's the first male in the family, so we're not sure how that's going to work. We knew with the females exactly how it progressed. Every time your hormone change, having a child, it would, you get a step jump in your vision, and then when you usually lose the most of the rest of it after you go through the change. But with the male, it's like, well, how's it going to affect him? So luckily he's older than me, so it's kind of just hit him really late in life. He's already got his business established. He actually did the website, I think for the blind school, possibly designed that, because he does web design and sells all kinds of computer programs. He's done some of the programs for the FBI even. So
oh, wow.
He does a lot of different computer writing stuff.
Okay. Denny?
Yeah, is he from Missouri?
Your brother? Yes, he actually, yeah, he lives in Kearney, Missouri now. So.
Okay.
But yeah, he does business all over the world though. So
yeah.
He's got, in different countries, he's got different people that market different things for some of the different businesses. Yeah.
Good. So MCB, when did you really start becoming, you know, involved in MCB?
I think it was about 10 years ago. I would do some stuff, the legislative stuff. I'd go down with mom and help do every year. That's where I really started. And then I kind of tried to help Terry that one year. So that's where I did most of my early stuff with MCB.
Okay.
And then I just kind of tapered off, not really doing some, you know, just kind of only doing that for the most part. I did go down to the camp several times.
Oh, did you? Okay, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been there through the years several times.
Yeah. So are you a member at large? Are you a member of an affiliate? Or
I'm a member of ATI.
Oh, okay.
So, Assistive Technology.
Yeah. The Special Interest Affiliate.
Yes.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And were you ever anything on a committee or anything before you became chair of the Education Advocacy Committee? Did you serve in other committees?
Last year, I also did the emergency preparedness, and I'm still doing that one because that one's a pretty easy. I just kind of post the stuff, mostly season, what kind of hits us during tornado season. And, you know, in the wintertime, I post different tips on that. And I am working on, I'm going to talk with the police officer on maybe self-defense things, how to prepare for those type of emergencies, because one of the biggest things that people think about is always be aware of your surroundings. Well,
correct.
When you're blind, you're limited to the sound. You're not as easily able to be aware of, hey, there's some people standing over there I may not want to walk over next to. I'm going to try to get some tips from police officers on what people can do to kind of help prepare themselves before they could face an emergency like that.
Well, it'd be nice to have a breakout session at our convention to talk about that, and maybe just to the entire convention. Yeah, that'd be nice. People are always wondering, you know, what I can do to protect myself, and especially the blind. And it is a different situation with the blind, as you said. we don't see what's mm-hmm. going on, so we have to really listen to what's going on. So, Chip, I know you're going to fill some big shoes with being chair of the Education Advocacy Committee. Chip has done that the last several years, done a great job on it. You're going to have big shoes to fill, but I'm sure that you'll do it well, and looking forward to working with you on that. So, Chip, go ahead, let you take it from here.
All right, thank you. Yeah, and I tell you, April's off to a great start, and so she's made some really great contacts, and so she's really off to a great start. I do want to kind of go back to something that Denny mentioned, April. Mm-hmm. And that was when you first joined MCB, you and your husband. Was it due primarily because your mom was already a member? Can you tell us what was it exactly that attracted you to MCB?
Well, when I first joined like 10 years ago, it was more of a, well, I've got to be a member if I'm going to go to camp. So that was where I first got started. And then she kind of introduced me to some of the groups. And so I kind of enjoyed just hearing some of the, like, I've done library users, and I did the guide dog one also for a short time, because, you know, I thought if I ever decided to get a guide dog, I'd want to know. I mean, I've experienced it with mom. She's always had a dog, so knowing, the stuff around it. So I've just kind of checked out a few to see what it was about, and then I've been with ATI for the last couple of years, because me and my husband both really enjoy technology and always have been really interested in it. My husband's great with computers, so that it's just always been a really interest to me, knowing some of the things. So that's kind of how I kind of got into it, is just looking to see some of the different things that were out there and the different groups and how they operated.
Well, you mentioned too that you are still chair of the Emergency and Preparedness Committee.
Yes.
And I've always thought you put out some really tremendous, fabulous information. Really
appreciate that. Thank you.
What was it about emergency preparedness, and even now as education and advocacy, that made you want to participate in those two areas of the organization?
Well, I love education advocacy, of course. I've kind of followed some of the bills every year. Really got into it when I first went down with mom the first time on the disability rights days. Probably 10 years ago now. Even before I met my husband, we've been together almost 8 years. And so I really enjoyed doing that. But on the emergency preparedness, I've just always had, with working on a fire department for 4 years, and doing all aspects of that. You know, I did the vehicle extrication, going out on medical calls, all kinds. I was trained on all kinds of emergencies, whether it was, we did even school bus rescue. My little small town here, because this was where I was on the department here in Lawson, Missouri, we did a lot of training and would offer it for people would come from miles and miles just to get the training that we offered, because we had a really great people who would coordinate training and stuff. So I was experienced in so many areas. I even thought of joining the Red Cross at one point, but I was going through paramedic school at the time, years ago, before my first son was born. So at that point, it was just too much on my plate to work with the fire department and the Red Cross and go to school. So I didn't end up doing that. But just having, when you spend on the fire department that much time, everything is just adrenaline. You never know what you're getting when you go on a call. So it's, you know, you always have that preparing for that emergency. You literally have seconds to minutes before you get on the scene of, you're just getting a call of, here's what maybe we're going to experience. What are we going to need fast? And so I think it's kind of always through the years put me kind of on that kind of frame of mind to, you know, always look at that and what's available and what people will need. That's going to help them through that emergency.
Well, I know here you are now, April, you're now the chair of Education Advocacy Committee. Sometimes that's hard to say. I don't know why, but anyway, but before you actually got to be chair, you, as you mentioned, you were actively involved with your mom and with Terry Arnold and different things like that. But you also, actually, I don't remember if you told me that you went through the legislative education project that the Governor's Council on Disability provides, or if you listen to the videos.
Yes, I did the videos.
A little bit about that.
Yeah, I did the videos. They were actually quite interesting. I had never done that before, so I had contacted. I'd look at bills that were coming up. Even before the last couple of years, I would see something that was coming up and kind of keep an eye on things and of all kinds of different areas, not just relating to the blind. And so if I saw something that I'm like, hey, I like that voting bill or I like something they're proposing, I would contact my representative. And but I had never known about that training until I got the chair position. So I really enjoyed that they have some really great videos that tell you exactly how to approach them, what to say to your representative, how to present yourself if you're going to go speak, how to talk. So it is a really great program. And now that they're doing everything online since due to COVID, they're not doing any in-person training. Those videos out there are just absolutely fabulous. And I've just, it's really helped me on knowing what to say when I contact and the best way to frame it and what to include when you're talking to your representatives.
Hey, Denny.
Yes. Just going to ask you about something coming up, a bill or something that you might want to present to the committee, the Education and Advocacy Committee, that you think Missouri Council of the Blind might want to take a position on. Are there any bills that you're looking at to present to the committee?
Yeah, there's so many voting bills this year because so many people wanting to secure the elections. And, you know, of course, we've got the ones, as usual, that present to make sure we have the electronic voting. But we also have ones right now that are trying to keep it to where we won't eventually. They won't have the electronic voting, that would only be paper ballots. So trying to, you know, look at some of those to say, hey, these are great bills, but you can't cut us out to where we don't have any type of accessibility. So I'm trying to get in contact with them to see if maybe they can alter the bill, or if that's one we just want to say, hey, you know, we're not going to support this. We're going to be against it. Mm-hmm. So that's one really, really important one. You know, they've got a Braille bill right now, making sure that students in regular schools have access to learning Braille. I'm not sure how easy it's going to be because I know there's limited teachers. We definitely need extra, you know, more teachers able to go into these areas. But I think having that to where, especially if the kids did have some experience with that, them having that opportunity to have that available to them. And the schools having to find a way is going to be a really great thing if we can get that through. Those are two very important ones right now that I'm looking at. So,
and, you know, we have looked at what Chip and several of us have been talking in the last couple of years about online voting. And I think that would be really a good time to explore that if they indeed do away with the accessible voting at the polls, then just make it paper ballot. So we could really try to work together to make that happen. Chip, you was going to say something?
Yeah, in regard to that, you know, a couple of those voting bill issues deal with, hang on, my computer's talking. There, now I've stopped it. Anyway, yeah, so a couple of those voting bill issues regard to population, where there's 350,000. And so, you know, where there's less than 350,000, then you're going to have to travel a certain distance to where they have the accessible voting equipment to be able to cast your votes. And there's just all kinds of problems with that. And so being able to vote from the comfort of your own home and do it privately and independently using your computer would really be huge.
Yeah. I do know what the issue with that is. Their biggest concern is hacking. And, I mean, we know how easy it is that someone can get a backdoor into a system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the ones that were just online the voting machines, if they have them plugged into the internet. They showed, I saw videos that showed exactly how easy they could be hacked, how many minutes it took. They even brought some teenagers in that had just learned some basic skills and stuff, and they were able to get into the back door of those pretty quickly. Within, I think they, the one of them was in within 30 minutes. The others took them all just a, right over an hour to be able to access it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, so I know that's the biggest concern. I think if they could do something to where, even if it was something they printed limited amounts, just you contacted ahead of time and said, hey, I'm registered at this polling place. I'm going to need a Braille ballot or a large print ballot. I think that would be reasonable if they wanted to go to all paper to make sure it was secure and to make sure, because I know having a backup copy to where if they have to do recounts, that's very, very important to do. So I'm like, if they wanted to do that, but they have to have something that's going to be accessible to us. And really, I know a lot of people, even though, even when there is an electronic machine available, a lot, I know so many blind people that say, I'm not even going to try to get to the polls. There's too many people trying to get a ride. It's difficult. So they won't even go. They just do the mail-in ballot. Mm-hmm. And, but then they have the difficulty. Those are not accessible. They still have to have help doing that, having filling it out, because they're not in Braille. They're not in large print. I got to where I'd help mom with hers and I would have difficulties. I'd say, mom, somebody else is going to have to help you because I don't have my magnifier with me and I can't see it. So
yeah. Yeah. Well,
so I think making an accessible paper ballot is going to be a better option.
Right.
Yeah. For security wise.
Sure. Now I know that, the Education Advocacy, committee and many other members of MCB go to the Capitol every year. Do you have a date for that in mind yet? Or, can we announce that here?
Actually, no, I've that's what we were, I was talking about with Chip. We have to kind of follow up. I didn't access that email where, I know they're kind of trying to decide whether we're going to do it virtual this year or if we're doing a hybrid or if we're going to go down. So, so everything with the COVID and everything has still kind of been up in the air this year of setting dates and getting a lot of the stuff set in stone.
Okay.
So,
well, we will definitely be available to record the meeting and make that available to the public on the information line so they can get more information about that, April, and kind of get the information out to the people about the bills that we'll be supporting and everything like that. So it's a big job that you've taken under in getting all this together and everything. And I certainly wish you the best on it. I know you'll do a good job with it, but it is going to be a big job for you. Chip?
Yeah, April, I know that you subscribe to the legislative update that you get from the Governor's Council on Disability.
Yes.
But we're really fortunate here in this organization, the Missouri Council of the Blind, because we have a software program in the MCB office called TrackBill. And I know that you get those daily alerts, legislative alerts, using TrackBill, because we use certain keywords that allow us to use that software. We'll plug in keywords like blindness, voting equipment, voting machines, service animals, service dogs. We plug in all those different keywords like that. So anytime there's a piece of legislation with any of those keywords, then we're alerted to any kind of legislation that's coming up. So we get all different kinds of things about the blind pension, just all different kinds of things. So I just want you to share with people, how's that working for you? You're able to track then when you get those legislative alerts, then they have all the who's the sponsor of the bill, when it was introduced. You're able to follow it, track it. You're able to know when there's going to be a hearing on that bill. So share with us a little bit how TrackBill works for you.
Yeah, I like being able to set the keywords because I've used Legiscan in the past, and where they can give you some alerts, it doesn't work as easily on doing like the keyword searches. They can tell you, oh, yeah, if you say, hey, I want you to track this bill, send me just this email, because it's, you know, since Legiscan is free, with TrackBill, there's so much more you can add in there with doing the keyword searches. You don't have to just put in, hey, track me, bill, you know, HB, whatever. You can actually just have it look for you under all these keywords. And sometimes I'll get something and I'm like, well, I don't see that keyword in the summary. But then when you go look through all the wording, you're like, oh, there I see it. There's something in down in the bottom where if all you looked at was the summaries of each bill, you can miss some key words that they kind of throw in. They try to throw some stuff in the bills. So I have come across one or two like that where the keyword search caught it and the summary would not have, just looking at a summary would not have caught some of the keywords that we're looking at, especially when it came to some of the voting bills, because the summary just talked about some other voting stuff. And then at the bottom, it had that was the one I'm really looking at that had, hey, we want to basically get it to where there's no voting machines anywhere available. Once they wear out and quit working, we just won't replace them. And so that was one bill that I had to actually read through all the bill to see some of the stuff they were proposing. So had it those keywords not been caught with the track bill program, we could have easily overlooked that bill.
Chip, if you want to, go ahead and ask your famous question.
I love to ask that question. April, is there anything about April Gray that nobody knows except maybe your husband, those in your immediate family, that you wouldn't mind sharing? Let people know a little bit more about April Gray. Because, you know, I mean, people like to get to know you a little bit better. And so we're going to give you that opportunity. So why don't you share with us anything that you'd like to share with us about April Gray?
Well, I love music. I played the piano from the time I was like 3 years old. I don't play anymore because I don't have a piano or keyboard. But and my right hand doesn't always work the way it's supposed to anymore because I have right side tremors sometimes. So I haven't played too much in years. Occasionally, if I see somebody's keyboard, I'll sit down and kind of mess with it a little. But I love music, so I am one that I will break out in song at any point. So if something triggers reminds me of a song, I think I'm kind of like mom on that because she's always been one that would just start singing. So
yeah.
I think I kind of get that from her. And so, yeah, I'm one that will sometimes drive some people crazy because I'll just all of a sudden something, there'll be some word that's like a song that you know real good, and all of a sudden I'll just start singing it. So
your mom had a beautiful voice. Did she pass that down to you?
I do a little singing.
I
do sing some. Yeah, my husband used to sing, but he has a lot of lung problems now because he had pneumonia so many times when he was little. But he was actually went to the Baptist church, but some of the bands or the choirs that travel around with some of the kids, he was actually chosen for it, but then his dad got sick, so he didn't end up going and doing that. But he would have been able to travel around the country with the choir. But he can't sing like he used to with not having the good wind with his, you know, his lungs the way they are. But he does still like every now and then to get out a few, belt out a few with me. So.
Well, April, appreciated your time today. Is there anything you'd like to tell the people in closing? You'd like to say?
No, not that I can think of. Just thanks for hearing me.
So we appreciate your work in MCB and especially for taking on the education and advocacy chair. And I could say that no trouble, Chip. So, but it was good to have you on today. Appreciate your time, really.
Thank you.
Folks, if you have somebody you'd like to hear Chip and I interview on MCB, meet the people of MCB, give me a call at 636-428-1500, or you can call Chip at
417-540-9703.
Keep listening to Meet the People of MCB. You might even hear yourself on here next time. Thank y'all, and God bless.
Bye-bye.